somebody can raise the tomb, please?
Let's pray. Father, we want to put this time in your hands.
We pray for those who has not made a decision to put their faith on the finished work of the cross. We ask you for your mercies on them. And we ask you for you to bless the word that can come inside our hearts, and especially those who are not safe, and it can give them life, they can have a new life today. So we put this time in your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
We want to make it a little bit different today. I want to be starting with the Spanish Bible. But we have a brother who is going to help me. He's going to be reading in English. I'm not going to be reading in Spanish. Maybe some verses, I want to tell you the difference. You know, sometimes it explains. I like the way it explains a little bit better. But we want to read a story in the Bible that I think that it can make a change today for somebody who has not put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I think has a message for everybody. And we can go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And we want to be reading from verses 1 through 11.
John 9
through 11.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him, that he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight.
We see the story about this man that this happened almost 2,000 years ago. If we go back in history, we know that nobody really can do an operation or something to bring back his sight. He testified about that in verse 32. If we read verse 32.
Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?
So he has a big problem now. He was born blind, and really, it was no hope for him. It was no way that he can recover his sight. But really, I think the Lord was teaching us through this, what happened in this situation. The situation of mankind is the same situation of this man. We know that now the science has advanced, and maybe somebody who is born blind maybe has a chance to recover sight. It can be, you know, it's a chance it can be, you know. But all humanity, the whole, when we was born on this earth, everybody was born with a problem that cannot be fixed, that we cannot fix ourselves. No doctor, nobody cannot take away the problem that we are born with. And I would like to go to some verses to see that. I would like to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12.
Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
So death came into the world through one man, through Adam. We all know the story about Adam. Adam, when God made him, he made him perfect. He was not a sinner. The power of sin was not in him. And God tests Adam by telling him to do one thing, to not take from the fruit of good and evil. And we know the story. Everybody maybe know the story here in this room. They disobeyed. They believed the lie of the serpent. And they went against God. And they eat. And now all the power of sin entered through Adam, the first man, and passed through all of us. We all was born at the image of Adam. If we go to Genesis chapter 5. In this chapter 5, by this time, God already bring judgment to man. And God already take Adam and Eve away from the Garden of Eve. We know the story. So now Adam is going to have a son. And this son is on the image of Adam with a sinful nature outside the Garden of Eve. Can you read it, brother?
What verse?
Genesis 5, verse 3.
Genesis 5, 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth.
So now Adam have a son, and this son has a sinful nature. And not only that, he's dead spiritually. He has no spiritual life. He's dead towards God. If I would like to read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
So now, this son of Adam, who was born outside the Garden of Eden, he was born with a sinful nature, and now he's dead spiritually to God. And he cannot understand the spiritual truths. So we see what God tell Adam, that if the day they hid it from the fruit of the good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, he will surely die. He didn't die physically immediately, but he died spiritually with a life that is far away from God. And maybe somebody here has not given his life to Jesus yet. It's how we are. It's how we was born. With a sinful nature. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, it's the position that you have now. And that's why you do things, you have a sinful nature that controls you and is against God. And God has to judge sin. If we go to Romans chapter 3, if we read verses 10 to 12,
Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
So the testimony that God gives about men is that it's not even one that is righteousness. It's not even one who came that God can be pleased. And nobody really is seeking God, is what the scripture says. So when men fell to God, a a sinful nature came inside of them, and now the normal life of this somebody without Christ is opposite for the holiness of God. So God is holy, and he has to judge sin. If we go back to John chapter 9, on verse 6, we see something that is kind of unusual. The Lord has the power to just talk to this blind man, and this blind man can receive his sight immediately. Because for God, nothing is impossible. Jesus is God. But he decided to do something different. He made clay with a spill. When we think about that, we think that's something that doesn't look too clean, you know, kind of nasty. Why the Lord did that? Why did he do that? And it comes to my mind how the Lord sees sin in the lives of humans. He sees it like that. Something that is, that somebody says in another Bible study that we have, that God hates sin. God hates sin. He cannot approve sin. And I think the Lord wanted to teach you something. That really what keeps the humans dead spiritually is their sins. God had to deal with sins before he can give a human a new life. And over here, he put this mud into his eyes. And if I want to go to Romans 3 and see a little bit about of Romans 1, see a little bit how is his life without God? Romans 1, verse 19 to 32.
19 through 32?
Yes.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
All the way to verse 32.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, so God shows how the heart of man is without God. The life of somebody who is a person in this world who has not repented of his sin and put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ cannot please God. And every sin that everybody does, God has to judge it. God is just, and the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. So God has to judge sin. So we need to recognize how is God. God cannot decide one day and say, oh, all the sins that you have committed, I'm going to forgive you. And it's not a problem. You can come to heaven. It's not that way, because God is just. He cannot allow sin in his presence, and he has to judge sin. So that's the next point that we want to see in John chapter 9, verse 6. The Lord provided to this blind man salvation. After he put clay in his eyes, he provided a way for him to be saved. Now this blind man, after the Lord gave him the command, he had two options: to obey, to believe and do it, or not believe, and even get mad because the Lord did that such a thing of putting clay in his eyes. But if we read verse 6.
When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
Verse 7, brother, sorry.
And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing.
So we see that this blind man obeyed. He went and did it like the Lord said, and he recovered his sight. A miracle happened in his life. The same thing, we see the name, you guys notice the name of this palm? The name of the palm is translated as sent. You know, the scriptures call us about one who was sent to this world. You see, God, he has to judge sin. He's perfect in his justice, but also God is love. And God doesn't want to punish sin on us. That's why he sent his only begotten son to take our place in the cross. If we go to John chapter 3, verse 16.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
So this verse tells how God loved the world so much. He didn't, you know, that God has to judge sin. We're going to read in a little bit more about the lake of fire. It's going to be a great white throne where God is going to judge sin. And the scripture says that he prepared a place not for us, not for humans. He prepared it for the angels and for Satan. But when men believe the lie of Satan, sin enters into the man and has to go to the same place. But God doesn't want us to go to that place because he didn't prepare it for us. And that's why over here in verse 16 says that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. He sent his son to this world. He was born. The scripture says that Jesus, supposed to, one of his name is Emmanuel, God with us. God came to this world. He became a man. He was the only who can give himself for our sins. He came to this world and he lived a life in obedience to God. He was obedient to the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for him to go to the cross and take the place of the sinner. If we read verse 17.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. You know, if somebody reject Jesus today, if there's somebody here who is not saved, the coming of Jesus to this world didn't condemn you. It's the rejection that you did towards him. God provide a way for you to be saved. But if you reject it, it's what take you to the lake of fire. If you read verse 18, brother.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So the one who believes is not condemned. It's no more judgment. In the cross, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the scriptures tell us the one who knew no sin, he was made sin for us. God putting him in the cross, the judgment that was on us. Everybody who is born on this world, it don't matter what age you are, it don't matter if you were born on a Christian family, you had to come up on a time in your life that you need to make a decision. You need to repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All your sins that you commit in your whole life, past, present, and future. And it's sad to say future, because every time we sin, Jesus died for that sin. Jesus died for all our sins. God put the judgment that was on us in Jesus. In the cross, Jesus was separated from God. For 3 hours, Jesus was separated from the Father. From the whole eternity, Jesus was one with the Father. But in the cross, he was made sin for us. That was very difficult for him. I believe that when he sweat blood before he went to the cross was because in his mind was that was in his mind that he was to be separate from God in the cross. That was something very difficult for him. But if we go to Revelations, everybody has to see Jesus one time. You have to see Jesus one time, either as a Savior or as a judge. As a Savior, he offered you everlasting life. He offered you to take all your sins in him. But as a judge, you had to suffer the consequences of every sin that you had committed. Every sin. You know, now all the kids have phones, or everybody has phones, and a lot of these advanced phones has memory inside, and they can put a lot, they can have the whole Bible inside. And if we as humans, we can record a lot of information on a little piece like this, you know. Imagine God, the creator of the universe. He's going to have everything that you have done, everything that was, every sin that you have committed. The scripture says, if you know how to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. Everything is going to be recorded. We go to Revelation chapter 20. And we read verses 11 to 15.
Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
If you refuse today to see Jesus as your Savior, if you refuse today to see Jesus as the one who died in the cross for your sins, the scripture says that you're gonna have a resurrection. You're gonna live again. God is gonna give you a body. And with that body, you're gonna go and see the Lord. I was talking to a brother, and I say, how a sinner, somebody who never repent of their sins, after having a body to go to judgment, is gonna stand and see the Lord, and then being thrown to the lake of fire forever. Seeing the Lord for one time, I think that's gonna be something very impressive in their heart. But the scripture says that they're gonna resurrect. So you think that when you die, everything is over? It's not over. God is gonna resurrect you. You're gonna live again. And God is gonna bring up all the things, and He's gonna judge you according to all that. But that's not necessary. Today, you can repent of your sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the scripture says that God demands or commands everybody, everywhere, to repent. You can repent today of your sins. You can pray to God today and say, I'm a sinner and I'm helpless. I cannot do nothing for myself to save myself. The only way that I can be saved and put through the sacrifice of Jesus in the cross. And you can put your faith today in Jesus. And you know something? The scripture says that if you believe in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. The Lord God is not a liar like a man. We can trust in His word. If He say in the scriptures that if you believe, if you repent of your sins and you put all your faith on Jesus Christ today, you have everlasting life. You know, the scripture says that when you believe in the gospel, in the message of the salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God give you the Holy Spirit. That's the proof of your salvation. If you put your faith in Jesus today, you can have a trust. You can believe, you will have no doubt that God is going to resurrect you to go to heaven one day. You see, the death of Christ in the cross is enough. We can have that faith that if God in the Old Testament accepted the sacrifices of animals, it's much more the blood of Jesus Christ in the cross. Now, if we go back to John chapter 9, something special happened to this blind man. Something very, very special. People did not recognize him after he recovered his sight. And I think this message is for both. It's for the ones who has not received Jesus as your Savior. He wants to make you a new creation. In the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the scripture says that you are a new creation. God give you a new life. Now you have the power to say no to sin. I want to share with you guys a little story in a little bit about a little girl that got changed. But in verses 8 and 9, brother, you want to read.
The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he.
You see the impact that happened to this man? After he came back from being on this pond called the sand, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came back, people did not recognize him. They thought that it was not him. That he looked like him, but he was not the one. Something happened in his life that they didn't recognize him. He was a new creation. And like I say earlier, when you put your faith in the Lord, He gives you a new life. And Ephesians, we're not going to go there, but Ephesians 2:5, the scripture says that when we was dead in sins, Lord, God gives you life. to give his life when we was dead on our sin. When we believe on the Lord, he gives us the Holy Spirit and gives us a new life. This man was changed. So the question that I want to give, make to every, especially the youth here, is your life different than when you accept the Lord? It's a dangerous right now because we live in the end of time, on the last days of the grace, when sadly about the church has put Christ upside and is worldly minded. We have phones, we have TVs, we got computers, and it's the scripture says for us not to feed our flesh. We can feed our flesh with a lot of things. It's a very dangerous time because it's hard for the young people. You go to different places, you go to the mall, you go to the store, and things are not the way they're supposed to be for the world is unholy. Everywhere you go is sin, and it's very hard. And the parents need to recognize that is, we live in a very, very hard time. Everywhere you turn is sin. So you guys need to keep your heart. You guys need to guard your heart. Because, you see, our conscience is what the Lord uses when we are not walking according to his will. Our conscience can get harder and harder. And we can get used to sin. And it's not the will of God for a new creation, a new saved one, not to reflect his son, Jesus Christ. I would like to go to 1 John. Yesterday, I see all the youth reading the Bible. It was beautiful to walk and see them everywhere. I didn't have a camera. I wanted to take you guys a picture, but it was beautiful. I hope that everybody does that every day in your house. But it's very important for you guys to spend time in the scriptures. Because if you spend time in the scriptures, the Lord is feeding yourself with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to judge you when you are not walking or to keep you away from sin. So it's very important that you guys keep reading in your house after you guys live here. You guys need to keep reading. But still, God prepared a way. For those who accept Christ today, if you repent of your sin and you accept Christ, now you can come to God not as a judge, but as a father. If you sin, God still be your father. He always going to be your father. But you have to come and confess your sins. If we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You see, if you come and confess your sins to God, one by one, don't come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. No. You need to come to God and say, God, I failed to you this way. And be specific with God. You have a warranty. God is going to 100% warranty that he's going to clean you from all sin. He's going to work in your heart and he's going to give you the power to depart from sin. But you need to do it daily. I tell you that I wanted to share a story about a little girl. her name is Emma. She's 12 years old. This little girl was living in a very, very rough environment. She lives two houses away from the meeting room. Back then, when we met her, her mom was pregnant. Emma have a sister and a brother. They are very, very poor, very poor. The parents, the dad, they didn't have nothing to eat. And you know what he did? He left the house. He left the house. He decided that was the best thing. In his heart. The mom, her name is Eli. She came to talk to us. She needed help. We help her. We preach the gospel to her. That's the best thing that you can give. And she believed. And she started reading the Bible a lot. She went to sleep with her Bible in her chest. Every day. She read the whole Bible quick. You know, it's all she did. She was pregnant. The husband came back later. And she said, look, if you want to come back, it's fine. But let me tell you, I have put my faith on Jesus. And I'm not going to stop reading the Bible. And I'm going to go to meetings. And, you know, it's what she told her. Tell him, you know. She wants to make sure if he wanted to come back, you know, she will not change. Emma had a very bad attitude. Something was wrong with her. We wanted to go and kind of help because we don't know if she was maybe being molested or something, you know, but she had a very, very bad attitude. She wanted to the things from the world and the mom because she had a new heart. She decided the things from the world will not enter her house. And she was strong. And Emma, I think she stayed in the room for a couple of weeks. She was so mad with the new life in the house that she stayed crying and crying. And finally, the whole family came to meet him, and Emma was safe. So Emma, you know, she, now you see her very happy, always smiling. But one thing that I wanted to tell you about the story about Emma is, one, that she have a new life. We all can see her new life. God give her a new life. And this new life, you know, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, God give you gifts. Maybe you can have the gift of serving. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. Maybe you want to have the gift of preaching the gospel. You may have different gifts, not only one. You know, Emma have a special gift that we all can see. And her gift is the gift of serving. Now, on Saturdays, she goes and cleans the meeting room. Nobody asked her to do it. She do it because she loves the Lord. She, when we had to put tables to it, she's putting tables. When she likes to serve, she's the last one to sit down and eat. She's always serving. And she's always serving with a smile. You know, she's always happy. She's not doing it because nobody else wants to do it. It's because really the Lord gave her that gift. And she's a little girl. But I wanted to bring this message to the youth today, or for everybody. God has given you special gifts. And they are very important for the growth of the church. I kind of changing the subject a little bit, but I think it's very important. If we go to Ephesians. Chapter 4. And verse 16.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
You know, in Spanish it's a little bit different. And I want to translate the Spanish to English kind of literally the way it is. And it says that according to the activity of each member, the church is edified according to the activity of each member. This is what really this verse teaches in Spanish. That God decided to give growth to the church with the activity of each member. It's how God designed the growth of the church. Now, the youth who is here, God, if you already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a special gift, at least one. Maybe you have more than one. Now, what are you guys going to do with that gift that God gave you? I know that some gifts take time to develop. I mean, right now is not the time for you to use it, but the Lord already gave you that gift. Some of your gifts, you can use it right now. And I want to, since we've been talking, we started the message on Philippians chapter 3. I want to see 2 points on Paul that we can take today and take it personal in the use of our gifts in the church. And I want to go to 1 Timothy. Timothy chapter 1, verse 12.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
You know, the word accounting me faithful, that means that God hath Paul as faithful. Before he even gave him the gift, when in the heart of God was to give him that gift, he counted him as faithful. And you know something? I think it's the same thing for every one of us. God has counted us for faithful. That's why he gives us all the gifts that he gives you. Every gift that we have, God gave it to us for a reason. He wanted for us to use us for the growing of the church. So every member is special. It don't matter what age you are. Maybe you had the gift of preaching the gospel. And you have other kids in the school that you can preach the gospel that they're not saved. So you can be using your gift even though you are young. So first point is that God counts us for faithful. So I think that should push our conscience that God think that we're going to be faithful. What about if we're not faithful? That's kind of sad that we are not faithful, because God counts us for faithful. And I want to see another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is a warning. This is a warning. Paul put himself a warning. Or, moved by the Holy Spirit, he put himself a warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16.
For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Woe is unto me. That's a warning. You want to keep your gift? You know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming pretty soon. I hope everybody in this room really believes that. The Lord can come anytime. And I think we should serve him with our eyes on his coming. We're gonna be in front of him, and he's gonna see everything that we did. And it's gonna be sad if we're supposed to do something for him and we didn't do it. You know, we're gonna repent, because whatever the Lord is gonna do on the rewards has to do with the whole eternity. It's gonna be too late. Over here, you can serve God. In heaven, it's a chance. Maybe we're going to serve him. Maybe we don't know. The scripture says that he's going to serve us. The Lord is going to serve us. But the time is going to be over. As soon as the Lord comes, the time is over, and we're not going to be able to serve him no more. So I think the young people, really, I want to talk to you guys. Those two things, the Lord thinks that you are faithful. He give you that gift because he's counting you for faithful that you're going to do it. And it's a warning. You know, your gift that you have is a need for the body of Christ. It's a need for growth, for the church to grow. And we are one body. You know, every true believer is one body in the whole world. And every true believer, we need him for the growth of the church. So, the message of the gospel today, we're going to see Jesus as a savior, or we're going to see him as a judge. If we see him as a judge, we want to really suffer the rest of our life in the lake of fire. Forever and ever. You're going to see the Lord, and then you're going to be cast on the lake of fire for the whole eternity. That's going to be something that we don't want. Nobody here wants, if every saved one doesn't want you to go there. So I want to talk to you who has not made the decision yet. Repent of your sins. That's the will of God. Repent of your sins and accept the gift that God has given you already. Just the death of Jesus in the cross is enough that if the whole world wants to repent and accept and believe in him, it's enough to save everybody. So it's room for you. So I want to encourage you today to make the decision. If it's anybody here who wants to accept Christ and needs some help, you can come and talk to me or one of the brothers, and anybody is going to be very glad to help you. If we can see him, verse 4.
What number?
Number 4. If somebody wants to raise the tune.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners, by
Father, we thank you for your love towards us on sending your Son Jesus Christ to come to this world full of sin, to come and die in our place. Jesus, we thank you because you come in obedience to the Father, and you come and you give yourself as a sacrifice for our sins. We thank you because in your grace, in your mercy, you open our eyes to this truth and you save us. We ask you for those who are here that has not made a decision yet. We ask you for your grace and your mercies upon them, that they can understand the truth and they can make a decision and accept you as their Savior. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.